Now, as we come to Zechariah, here's a prophet that we want to get acquainted with, know something about his background. His name means whom Jehovah remembers. And he's identified here as the son of Berechiah. And Berechiah's the son of Iddo, the prophet. And so, actually, Zechariah, the name means Jehovah remembers. And Berechiah means Jehovah blesses. And Iddo means the appointed time. And these cluster names are quite interesting, by the way, because actually God remembers to bless at the appointed time. And that, I think, is something we ought to pick up here in this first verse. Now, this cluster of names with such rich meanings is suggestive of the encouragement that God wanted to give to the remnant that had returned to Jerusalem. In other words, God remembers and blesses in the appointed time. And we've seen that in the prophecy of Haggai. Now, the Jewish Targum states that Zechariah was slain in the sanctuary and that this Zechariah was both prophet and priest. And in Nehemiah 12:4, Iddo is mentioned as one of the heads of a priestly family. And Josephus states that Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, was slain at the temple. There are those who identify Zechariah here, by the way, as the one mentioned by the Lord Jesus in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Probably we ought to turn to that in 23:35, where he says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. So that apparently this is the man that we're dealing with here. But there are in Scripture about 25 men, separate men by the name of Zechariah that's mentioned. In fact, somewhere between 25 and 30 Zecharias are mentioned in the Scripture. Now, there is one that's mentioned that I'd like to call attention to, one other one, and he's the one who actually opens the New Testament. And it's quite interesting. This Zechariah just about closes the Old Testament next to the last book. And the New Testament actually opens with Luke's account. And it's the account of Zechariah, a priest, who was serving at the altar of incense when the angel appeared to him. And his wife was named Elizabeth. So that, again, God remembered. And after 400 years of silence, he broke through. Why? Because God remembered. And Zechariah is the first one that has appeared to. So that makes Zechariah quite an important individual here for us to look at. Now, we've already mentioned this before. Zechariah was contemporary with Haggai, although he was younger than Haggai. And you say, how do you know? Well, the way that we know is in Zechariah 2:4 it says, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man. And this young man was Zechariah. So I take it that Haggai is a much older man than that. But this book, actually, that he wrote, it has the characteristics of an apocalypse. The visions resemble those in the book of Daniel and Revelation. And here is some facts that are quite interesting to note. Daniel was born in the land of Israel, but he wrote his apocalypse outside of the land of Israel, down in Babylon. Now, Zechariah was born outside the land, probably down by the canals of Babylon, but he wrote his within the land. Now, Daniel and Ezekiel and John all wrote outside the land, and they all wrote books that are like an apocalypse. Only Zechariah was in Israel when he wrote his apocalypse. In other words, in the dark day of discouragement, which blanketed the remnant, he saw the glory in all of the rapture and vision of hope. He has more messianic prophecies than any of the other minor prophets. Now, I have an outline of this book that I think probably I ought to give you before we plunge into it. We have in the first six chapters apocalyptic visions, and they're messianic and millennial, and there are 10 of those visions. And he had all of those visions given to him in one night. And I would say that that's a good night's work, by the way, to have that many visions. And then you have in this book a historic interlude, chapters 7 and 8. And in that, it resembles Isaiah. And there you have the same thing we have in Haggai. That was a question is asked, a question concerning a religious ritual. And the ritual was fasting. What about fasting? Is there any value to it? Well, we're going to see that in chapters 7 and 8. And then the last part, the third division, are prophetic burdens. That means prophecies of judgment. And that's from chapters 9 through 14. And you have in the first burden the prophetic aspects that are connected with the first coming of Christ, and that's in chapters 9 and 11, and the second burden of prophetic aspects connected with the second coming of Christ, chapters 12 through 14. So you can see that we have here a rather unusual book. Now, this book is in direct contrast to Haggai. He's contemporary with Haggai. They definitely knew each other, prophesied to the same people at the same period of time. And yet their prophecies are just about as different as any two could be. They are literally ages apart, but they were given to the same people at the same time. Haggai is down there at the foundation of the temple measuring it. He's really got his feet on the ground. But this young man, Zechariah, he's got his head in the air. And I tell you, when you have 10 visions in one night, you've done pretty well. And his is entirely visionary, whereas Haggai is entirely practical. And yet they both are speaking for God to the same people at the same time concerning the same problem. And he'll speak to us today as Haggai spoke to us, but in a different manner altogether. We need to recognize that these two need to go together. We suggested that in Haggai. You need the practical, pragmatic man to go along with the man who's visionary, because there's a danger of the dreamer, you know, never being practical. And the practical man needs a vision also. So when you put these two together, you have a happy combination, by the way. I heard the story of a native in Africa who was blind, and he met a fellow who had no legs. And so he put the fellow who had no legs on his shoulder. And the fellow that had no legs was the eyes for the fellow that had no eyes. And that's the way that they got along. One did the seeing, while the other one did the walking, or whatever was needed to be, maybe running at times. You have that happy combination here in Haggai and Zechariah.